studies and get in that time tonight. So let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer with them real quick. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the good songs and the good time of worship that we enjoyed with those. And I pray now you just be a blessing to these young men, young ladies, and be a blessing in their lives and prepare them, stir their hearts and get them to that place where they can realize what you're doing and how that you're involved in all of their life and their everyday existence, that they can look to you and realize that you are the God of heaven and you care about them, that you love them. Help them to see that tonight. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. We'll give them just a minute. And while they're doing that, take your Bible, look with us over in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, if you will, please. Look it in the book of the Acts and chapter number 4. We're getting started in chapter number 4 anyway. Amen. We hadn't made it very far, but we've got this far. So we're going to go a little bit further. Acts chapter number 4. If you remember now, in chapter number 3, we have studied about the lame man that has gotten healed. And Peter has just simply reached down and touched him and given him what he needed, because it was just through the power of God. So, and if you notice, we talked about in chapter number 2, we've gotten the first message from Peter. Chapter number 2. Chapter number 3, you get the second message from Peter. When the people began to see what was done with this lame man, they began to wonder and question and, you know, look at it and say, well, what's going on here? Peter said, good time for me to preach. Amen. And I guarantee you that's the way that it is with us preachers. We'll find a convenient place with a dynamic event such as that and say, let me tell you what God is doing. And that's what happened. And then in chapter number 4, guess what? Peter's going to get another chance to preach. Amen. I mean, you know, that's what preachers do, is they preach. So Peter is taking full advantage of everything that is coming his way. So if you will, look here in chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Now, this is a continuation of chapter 3. Then Peter's been preaching and telling these folks they need to repent and get right with God and all those things. And then chapter 4, verse 1, it said, and as they spake unto the people, this is Peter and John speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, and has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you this evening. Thank you again for your word and for the goodness and the grace and the mercy that we see in it. And I thank you for this passage. Thank you for these verses, and particularly for this last verse, verse number 12, that says it's the name of Jesus. By the name of Jesus, that anybody's going to come to the Father, they got to come through that name. Thank you for that assurance. Thank you for that word. Thank you that we have been able to trust you and accept Christ as our Savior. Thank you for all those things tonight. Be a blessing. Everything that's said and done, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, we're going to look at this, and I'm just going to preach it to you this way. It's preaching time again. Here's Peter, sermon number 3. It's just preaching time again. I mean, Peter, as I said, he's taken every advantage that he can of these times to preach the Word of God. He's taken advantage of it. And, you know, that's what preachers do. They preach. I mean, that's it. You know, you look at lawyers, they go in the law. You look at doctors, they practice medicine. I mean, anybody that whatever their field is, that's what they do. Well, preachers are called to preach. And Peter has got himself filled up and ready to preach the Word of God. And it doesn't matter the situation. Remember what Paul writes, and this is just a little aside to that, but Paul says, be instant, in season and out of season. Well, here you are. Amen. If you want to say when the Holy Spirit comes down in chapter number 2, fills them up, they begin to speak with these other tongues, and Peter goes out and begins to preach and said, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Hey, and he began to preach. He began to preach to them. It was in season. Amen. And it was preaching season. Well, then the impotent man, he's healed and he's whole, and everybody's wondering and excited about what he said. Another good season. Let's preach. And now it's gotten to where it's out of season to preach. But you know what Peter does? He preaches anyway. Amen. I mean, now they're getting called on the carpet, if you will. So chapter number 4 is a little bit different in that idea, but it is the third sermon that we see for Peter. Here he is. He's got this opportunity to preach. So let's look at this and see what the Lord is doing through him and doing to him. And if you'll notice that it says, as they spake to the people, they're here, they're still continuing with their preaching, and it says, and the captain of the temple, or the priests and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Now, just as a little understanding of that as we get into it, you understand that this situation is pretty standard. The people in the temple, they had authorities, if you would. There were people that were, as it says here, they're priests. Obviously, the priests are there. But it says there was a captain of the temple. In other words, this guy was kind of the head of security and order of everything that's going on in the temple. That was his position and his job. In other words, he watched out for those that were at the gates begging, and he watched out as the flow of people came and went. He just tried to keep down any issues or any problems or anything that may arise that could have come up. He's there in the midst of them, and he's there to control and to help in any kind of situation that may need that kind of control. He's just there for it. We'll see that again throughout the book of Acts. You'll see there's some other times when there's somebody that comes forward and has to do some things. So we'll see that. But that's who these guys are. They are kind of like the police of the temple. And you said, I didn't know the church needed police. Sometimes we do. Somebody say, amen. We might ought to hire us a crew sometime around some of our churches. Amen. I've been in some where you wished you had one sometimes. But anyway, that's what's going on. That's the idea of the setting. But here's what I want you to see first. I want you to see the action that has put Peter and John in the prison. Let's look at the action or actions that have put Peter and John into prison. I mean, there's something that's happened here to cause them to be put into the imprisonment that they're in. Now, it says, as you notice this, and they're preaching to the people, they're talking to the people. Well, look what it says. Here they are, and here comes this whole group, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, which were the religious leaders of that day. They were the high-ups, the muckety-mucks. They were mainly the ones that made up the legalistic or the legal side of the temple. In other words, they were the judges. They were the ones that, matter of fact, those were the ones that were there when they put Jesus and condemned him to death. They were the ones that were there when they said, you know, release Barabbas and we'll crucify Jesus. This is the same crowd there, the Sadducees. And the Sadducees came, and it said they came upon them. It says, look in verse number 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. I want you to notice this first of all, if you will, when we're looking at this as far as the action. I want you to notice here is the real reason. Here is the real reason. I mean, the real reason is because of what they were saying. It says they were being grieved They were grieved, they were hurt, they were injured and insulted, if you will, that they taught the people, listen, and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now that really grieved the Sadducees. You know why? Because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. Sadducees didn't believe in angels. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Sadducees didn't believe a lot of biblical doctrine from the Old Testament, but that's their religion. They were, as I say, probably this time in power in the Sanhedrin court, the main religious court of the people of Israel. They were in charge of that at this time. They were the heads of it. And as far as being the head men of this, then they were considered, I mean, it's just saying the rulers, the captains, the temple, they are the rulership of everything that goes on down at the temple. And somebody's come in now, here's Peter, and Peter is preaching about Jesus being risen from the dead. And he told the people there, remember back in chapter number 3, they're looking at him and they're wondering, and he said, now, you know, what are y'all looking at me for? He said, y'all looking that this guy's whole and complete and not crippled up anymore? He said, I'm telling you, he says, look in verse number 15 again, in chapter number 3, verse number 16, he said, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So in other words, Peter's preaching Jesus crucified and resurrected as the Savior. And that's the reason that they got all upset. Because it says here, they were grieved that they, Peter and John is that they, taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying some people don't want to hear what the preacher has to say. I mean, they just want to hear it, don't want to hear it. The world today doesn't want to hear it. They still don't want to hear about Jesus and his resurrecting power and his amazing grace and the marvelous mercy. People still don't want to hear the old story of Jesus and his redeeming love. They don't want to hear that. And that's what Peter's preaching. And that's the reason that they're getting ready to put these guys in jail. It says, being grieved that they taught the people. Look in verse number 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Now, that tells us that, here you go, what's the result of this thing that's going to go on or that has gone on? What's the result of what Peter and John have been doing? Well, it says here that they laid hands on them, and they wasn't doing it in a nice way. This wasn't a Benny Hinn concert, amen. I mean, this wasn't a laying hands on you. They laid hands on them in a violent and a vicious manner. They put their hands on them, and it says they put them in hold, and that's in a prison, until the next day. For it was now eventide. Okay, now remember, if you think back into chapter number 3. When all of this started, it was what? Ninth hour of day, the hour of prayer. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, okay? 3 o'clock in the afternoon when all this started. So, you know, they've gone through this. And I reckon it looks like these guys must have shouted and carried on a little while when they went in the temple and got everybody all fired up and had a testimony service. That the crippled man testified and Peter testified and John testified. And buddy, they're just getting meeting going on. And now they have been so excited about having meeting. Then they've got all these dignitaries stirred up and they've all come down and they put them in an incarceration. There's some holding cells there in the temple. They've got a place to put them, and they said, it's too late in the day for us to adjourn the Sanhedrin and get them together to do something, and so just hold them overnight and we'll get to them in the morning. That's what they've done. The result of Bible preaching has landed Peter in jail. Well, get ready. This ain't the first and only time this happens. It ain't the only person it happened. You'll begin to see Paul and even others have been put in prison for the preaching of Jesus Christ. Everybody that wants to stand will face some kind of opposition. And Jesus did not tell them and say, look, guys, y'all go ahead and preach. Everything going to be lovely. He didn't tell them that, did he? He said, I want you to preach the gospel. He said, preach it, and I want you to preach it in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I want you to preach. He said, hey, and remember, I'm with you always. Jesus said he'd always be with them. Praise God for that. Aren't you glad? Listen, so here's the result of that is they went to prison. They went into a jail, into an incarcerated situation. But I want you to notice this. There's also a rejoicing that goes on because of the preacher's preaching. Look what it says in verse number 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now, I don't know. You can take that either way. 5,000 more got saved, or 2,000 got added to the 3,000 that got saved on the day of Pentecost. I don't know. It doesn't matter. 5,000 people. That's still an impressive number, isn't it? Amen. I still don't think they'd fit here in this church. Now, if they will, y'all fill it up and let's see, okay? But, here, 5,000. Wow. 5,000 people have turned to Christ, and Peter's preached two messages. That's pretty good. I've preached a lot, and it ain't got that far yet, so we'd like to see that happen. But listen, here he is, and you know, there's a reason to rejoice. I mean, here they are. There's a reason that they're in jail, and there's a reason that the dignitaries, or what the dignitaries have done to them, the resultant situation is that they're in prison. But now, there's a reason for them to rejoice. How be it? He said, in other words, it doesn't matter. How be it? That word how be it means anyway. Amen? And it don't matter. Here's what happened. God's doing something. Man, you and I ought to sometimes look at the how be it. Hey, they might be in jail. They might be slapped with a fine or a penalty or a situation that they're in. He said, but anyway, God's gotten magnified through the preaching of Jesus Christ, and men have gotten saved. Aren't you glad of that? Somebody got saved. Amen. So that's the action that has put Peter and John in the prison. But second of all, let's look at this. I want you to see the assembly of the powerful. Let's look at the assembly of the powerful. There's a group of guys here that have met. Listen to this. We're given this, and I think we're given this for the reason that God just wants us to know it, okay? Verse number 5, it said, and it came to pass on the morrow, listen, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Now, you just look at that list. That's pretty impressive. I mean, you might as well say the president and the vice president and the secretary of state and the secretaries of all the other cabinet positions and the joint chiefs of staff. I mean, everybody got together and they were having a meeting. That's what they're saying. This is all of the important folk that have something to do with the religious hierarchy of Israel at this day. Now, it says when they got together on tomorrow, it was their rulers. This wasn't just some old cheap crowd out there. Boy, this was the ruling class, the aristocracy, the high and the mighty, the powerful and the important. That's who has gathered. It is their rulers and their elders. The respected and the known and the dignified, they're all gathered up. I mean, they've got everybody. And then listen, it begins to name some particular names. And it says, there's the rulers, the elders, the scribes. You all know who the scribes are? The scribes are the fellows that actually handle the law of the Word of God. They were the ones that would go out and say, here's an interpretation. They were the fellows that would get out and do the exposition of the scriptures. I mean, they were, you know, pretty important guys in the line of thinking of all of those in the religious places. I mean, the scribes. If you remember, a lot of times you go through the Gospels, you'll hear that Jesus is talking usually to the Pharisees and the scribes. Generally, the scribes were of the Pharisee denomination, if you will. We'll say denomination. They were Pharisees. So you've got the Sadducees. You got the Pharisees. You got the high dignitaries. I mean, you've got the rulers. You've got the elders. You've got the big shot people, and they're all gathered. And then, as I said, begins to name specific names. Let me spit that out. Specific names. It says there's Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Now, Luke uses a little English phrase or type of thing to say that is called polysynthodon, and it means look at that. You see that he builds upon what he's saying. The rulers and the elders and, you see how he throws that word and, scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many. I mean, he's using that and in a particular grammatical fashion to build the fact that it wasn't just one little guy. They went up in front of some judge. No, this was this upon this upon this upon this. I mean, we're building the hierarchy of the big shots of the religious world of Jerusalem and of Israel at this time. I mean, these were the highest of the high. Now, you'll notice that it says that Annas was the high priest. And then you'll see that name mentioned Caiaphas. Caiaphas had previously been the high priest. Now, Annas was the high priest that was appointed by the Roman government. Caiaphas was the one that had been appointed previous to him, but he was appointed by the elders of Israel. So you've got, again, two of the most important men that in the religious circle, I mean, it's like how people honor and talk about the Pope today, right? I mean, they say, oh, the Pope's it for the Catholic religion. Well, these guys were it for the Jewish religion. I mean, Annas, it tells you, he was the high priest. Now, I don't know what y'all think about that, but he is the high priest. He was the appointed high priest. Well, can I tell you, I got another high priest. Amen. Amen. And his name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. But you've got him, and you've got Caiaphas, who I said was the previous high priest, John and Alexander. We don't know who these guys are, but they apparently are some important men in the religious circles and hierarchy. And then it says just as many as were kindred of the high priest. I mean, they got all the songwriters said all the bad folks got together. Amen. And they called Annas boss. Okay, so he was the big boss out of this whole crew. But here they are. I mean, can you imagine that? They have gathered all of these men together. I want you to just think about that for a minute. You see the pomp of that. Somebody's over here blowing horns and these guys all come marching in. And they come walking. Have you ever watched some of these presidential things where they start bringing them? Here recently we had the State of the Union and some guy comes out and says, "All rise, the President of the United States is in the room." And, you know, and they all begin to stand up, and the President goes up to the podium, and there behind him is the Speaker of the House, and there's the Vice President, and they're all applauding, and all the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the other dignitaries, Secretary of this and that and the other, all those folks are out there, right? And they're all applauding. Well, that's kind of the thing that you can see here. They all come in, and their robes, and their garb on, and they're marching, and you see all of this pomp that they bring with them. Not only that, you see the power that they bring with them. I mean, these guys, if you'll look at it, and I think this, you know this is Luke writing this, but as Luke writes this, I think he shows us the fact that these men demand, at least in the Jewish mind, they demand some respect. They're powerful. They're important people. I mean, it's just like, as I say, you think about our president. You think about our cabinets. You think about our secretaries of this and that. I mean, those are important people, and they demand the respect of people in this world. And they get it. They get it. And these guys are the same way. They're the powerful. But I want you to notice this also. You see their piousness. They think they are God's little bunch on earth. I mean, they really feel like that they have that that right and that position and that power, that pomp, as I said. They got all that. But look what they do. Look what they do. Here they are. We're introduced to all of them. And look what it says in verse number 7. And when they had set them in the midst, when they brought Peter and John into the middle of all this, they asked them, by what power or by what name have ye done this? I mean, you ever been in the courtroom and they start asking the defendant, you know, what's your story? Who gave you the right? Who gave you the authority? Who gave you the power? Who's underwriting all of it? Who's beneath you to empower all of this to be done? You see, they've got that pious attitude. It's like, we didn't say that this could happen. You didn't ask us. You didn't come to us. You didn't check with us first. I mean, that's the idea that this question brings on. And it is amazing that there are still people like that in the world. A famous statement, you know, that you'll hear nowadays when something happens and you're around somebody and they'll look at you and they'll say, do you know who I am? You ever hear that before? Don't you know who I am? Amen. Told y'all about that little lady in the nursing home, didn't I? About the preacher went in and looked at her. And he looked at her, and she's standing close to the doorway in her wheelchair, and he said, do you know who I am? And she looked at him and shook her head, no. And he went on, done whatever he done. And then he come back, getting ready to go out. And as he's going out, she's still sitting there. And she grabbed him by the coat, jerked on his sleeve, turned around. And he said, yes, ma'am. She said, did you ever find out who you was? Hey, man. Well, that's about the way this was. Don't y'all know who we are? I mean, and we're given all of that. I mean, here's, as I say, I think Luke does a tremendous job of presenting the fact that these were somebodies in this day and hour. But I'm telling you, there's somebody that overruled those somebodies. Amen? You see their pious nature. I mean, they just, and they question. And their anger, I mean, you know, like they always say, all's fair in love and war. Well, they just opened the door for Peter. Didn't they? I mean, they asked him. It said, and when they had set him in the midst, they asked. They said, we're going to ask you guys a question. You better be ready to answer. By what power or by what name have you done this? I want you to see this thirdly. The answer that is given to them by the preacher. I mean, Peter says, he kicks in that door and says, glad you asked. He said, I'm about to tell you. Amen. Thanks for the invitation to let me come through this door. I am about to give you a response. I mean, he says, look, now I'm going to tell you. And I think he's being respectful as he ought to be, and as respectful. And I want you to notice this as we go through the book of Acts. Every time these men stand before whoever they stand before, and as I say, you're going to see Peter. Peter does it a couple of times, maybe three times. And then you'll see Paul do it on occasion. And it's always with respect that they deliver their answer, but it's a very strong answer. It's a gospel answer. And here it is. Peter's about to give the answer. Look at the Peter's response to them. First of all, I want you to notice this as you look at this. Notice Peter's filling. It said, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, and elders of Israel. As I say, very respectful. But I want you to notice this. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, Peter, he was ready to give it up. I'm telling you, we need some preachers today that have gotten themselves alone with God and filled with that power and thank God, ready to stand up and deliver and give an answer of the hope that is within them. I mean, when somebody asks you and said, you know, what authority do you have to do what you're doing? Thank God I got authority from heaven. Where's your authority? Who's behind you? Who's backing what you're doing? Peter said, God in heaven's behind everything that I'm doing. Amen. Amen? He didn't need a college degree. He didn't need a certificate of promotion from them. He didn't need anything from any. He said, hey, I've got God is backing me up in this. So So you notice, first of all, notice that he is filled with the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, we all saw that in chapter 2. They were all filled, and Peter preached. Chapter 3, I believe he had a pretty good dose of it then too, don't you? Reached down, picked that guy up, and his legs, feet, everything gets strengthened and is able to walk and leap and praise God. Hey, now everybody there's wondering what's going on. He said, it's through the power of Jesus. He said, I got the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost said, preach Jesus. Amen? So that's what I'm going to do. And that's what he did. And then here, number 3, they asked him and said, who is your authority behind you? And as I say, first of all, notice his feeling. Second of all, I want you to notice the forensics that Peter gets into. Listen to what he says. He says this. He says, for in verse number 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Now, look at that phrase and notice what he says. If we this day be examined. That word examined is a legal term, and it means to do what you see them do on television when you're watching the, you know, CSIs and the NCIS and any police show. It means to have a thorough examination of the situation that's before you. That's what the police do. They go in and they make a thorough exam. I mean, they go in and they see all of the incident and they photograph it and they get all of the people involved and they get the area involved and they look through with a fine tooth comb at some of the stuff like fibers and materials and you know the trajectory of bullets and, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's a forensic. Peter says, if y'all gonna do an autopsy on this situation, he said, I'm about to tell you who's behind it all. He said, if we're going to be examined, if we're going to go through this forensics, if we're going to be subjected to all of the questions and all of the inquiries that can be done, he said, when you come to do this, he said, it's going to be like a formal investigation, and I'm going to give you all the particulars that I know. You see what he says there? For if we this day be examined of the good day. He said, y'all want to examine it? Come on up here a little closer and let's look at it with a microscope. Let's look at it as finely as we can and as well as you can. Let's look at it. And then notice what he says there in verse number 10. You notice his firmness. Peter firmly tells them, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Look what he says. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Peter says this. He says, let me answer you, and let me answer you in a firm manner. You want to know where my authority came from to do what I've done? He said, let me tell you. He says that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, look at this. Peter says, I want you to know, it's by the name of Jesus. He said, but not just Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That pretty well narrows that down, because there were a lot of people in that day named Jesus. They was only one that they knew had carried that moniker, Jesus Christ. And Peter said, let me just narrow that down. This is that Jesus Christ y'all heard about that came from Nazareth. He said, let me narrow it down just a little bit further for you. Listen, he said, that's the one whom ye crucified. He said, let me just tell you who we're talking about. Y'all remember that, don't you, is what he's saying. Y'all remember Jesus Christ. Now, that word Christ is not just part of some stuff you throw around when you're using Jesus' name in vain. A lot of people do that, don't they? But that name Christ means Messiah, the anointed and appointed one of God to be the sacrifice for our sins. And he said, this is who we're talking about. This is who our authority comes from. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, the one that you crucified. But he said, not only that, it's the same one, he said, whom God raised from the dead. That's who we're talking about. I mean, he got it all in that one sentence. He kind of nailed them right there, didn't he? He said, even by him doth this man stand here before you hope. He said, as a matter of fact, let me just tell you a little bit more about him. While I'm preaching, while I got the floor, Peter said, let me tell you a little bit more. He said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. He said, you know, does that, some of you scribes, does that sound familiar to you, this scripture? He's the stone that was set at naught of you builders. He said, now he's become the head of the corner. He's the chief cornerstone, is what Peter calls him over in his writings. So Peter's preaching about him here and talking about who Jesus is. So, I mean, you notice his firmness. And look, I want you to notice his final point and his finest point is verse number 12. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Ooh-wee. He had a strong close right there, didn't he? I wish my messages wound up like that with a real strong closing statement. I mean, Peter just kind of nailed it right shut in their faces. Right there. He said, here, let me tell you. He said, and I'm closing. This is my last point. Amen? Just like that fat lady in the briar patch. One more point and I'm out of here. Amen? I mean, that's the way it is. If I can get out of here, I'll be all right. But listen, this is his last and final point. He said, let me get this right down to the very bottom. Peter pounds them with the fact of the truth of the gospel. He talks about Christ, who is that Messiah. And, you know, he might as well said, hey, you guys know who we talk about when we say Christ, when we're saying the Messiah, when we're saying the anointed one of God. He said, that's who we're talking about. He said, but I want you to understand that we're talking about Messiah's name. This is the Messiah's name. It is Jesus of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, that God raised him up again from the dead. Hey, he's the only way to salvation. And what he is saying is this. He's really calling their religious training into position right here. What do y'all think about who Messiah is? I mean, he could have asked them that question and said, you know, y'all ever heard of the Messiah? They'd look at him and say, well, you're silly. We've all heard of the Messiah. We know that God is sending a Messiah to redeem Israel. He said, that's who we're talking about. But his name is Jesus. And he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter's already proclaimed back in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse 18. He said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, that's who I'm preaching to you about. He said, and that's the one y'all crucified. And now God's raised him from the dead. And now, he says, that is what we've done is in his name. In other words, when you use somebody's name, it's that authority, the authority behind their name. Not just so much that it's their name, but it's what that name stands for, right? I mean, like our ambassadors go over and they say, well, I'm representing the United States government and the president of our country. And what I say, he's backing up any deals that I make. In other words, it ain't me, mate. You might as well be dealing with him. Okay? You are, in fact, dealing with him. And because of that, Peter's saying, look, I'm down here as just a representative of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You remember the one that you crucified. But one God raised from the dead. That's who I'm saying. He said, and y'all know who I'm talking about. You're looking for a Messiah. Well, that's him. This is who we're talking about. The Messiah. And he said, that's the only person that is salvation. You know that he's the only way to salvation. And now all you've got to do is acknowledge what I've said and accept it for yourselves. And they're at that crossroad right there. I mean, and we're going to leave them there tonight. We're just going to go through verse number 12, but we'll pick up on the rest of it next time. But I mean, that is what Peter has told them. Here we are, fellas. This is the situation. And you ask me the question. And again, I just want you to note this. As I said, the respect that Peter gives, but I want you to note the response that Peter gives. You can do what you do for the Lord respectfully. You don't have to be a smart aleck or hateful acting or you know, yell and scream and, you know, tell someone. some of these things. You can do it respectfully, but you can also tell them that you need to be saved, and the only name that you can claim is the name of Jesus. And he has done that. He's done it very firmly. He's done it with the force of heaven. He's done it in fairness and dignity. But he has done it and made a final point, and as I said, his finest point of saying, hey, here's what it takes. It takes Jesus and accepting him as your Savior. And look, verse 13, that's a great verse. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled. We're going to get into that next week. They're standing there looking at them, and they're like, how do they know all this? Where are they getting? We don't understand. We ain't got it figured out. Thank God I'm glad, aren't you? God, I've seen God take some of the most simple and maybe, you know, and I don't mean anything ugly by it, uneducated backwoods men and fill them with what Peter got full of, which was the Holy Ghost, and use them for his power and in his power for his honor and for his glory. Aren't you glad God's still doing that today? Amen. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of some song, if you would, tonight. We're going to sing and rejoice in the Lord and...